Good day and welcome to the Technopolis Group's interim report January to September 2008 conference call. For your information, today's call is being recorded. The opening will be a presentation by the CEO, Pertti Huiskonen, followed by the presentation by CEO, Kate Silvering. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm Pertti Huiskonen, and to make a small correction, I'm the chairman of Technopolis currently, and today we have here from Technopolis our new CEO, Keith Silverang, represented, and then we have CFO Jarkko Ojala and our business controller, Sanna Vihermaa. So, I think that now I would like to give floor to Keith, please.
Thank you, Pertti, and thank you all for attending this telephone conference. It's the first of its kind, and I'm sure it won't be the last of its kind. So, to go straight to our Q3 report, for those of you who are not necessarily familiar with Technopolis, I'm just going to do a short introduction of the group, what we do, and how we operate. So Technopolis is a specialist in high-tech business environments. In fact, we're operating as a chain of science and technology parks in multiple locations in Finland as well as St. Petersburg. We have a specialization which is in providing services, including office space services, specifically for high-tech companies, in the startup growth, maturity, and internationalization, as well as maturity phases of their development, and also provide environments for those service companies and other organizations operating within the innovation ecosystem. We're the only science and technology park chain of our kind in Europe. We have a unique concept, and we're also a growth company. We've been publicly stating that we've been growing in our aim at growth of around an average of 15% per annum. We've been on or in excess of that growth target in the last few years. If you look at our concept, it comprises three main parts. One is the actual premises, the office, and other space that we provide our clients. Around that basic service is a group of business services which we provide ourselves to clients as well as through service providers. And the aim of these services is to allow customers to focus on their core business and outsource non-core activities to the business environment provider. And then the third element or level of our activities is our unique portfolio of business development services, comprising those business development services we provide to startup companies, to high-tech growth companies, and also open innovation services for our anchor clients. And what's important to understand about what Technopolis is doing is that we're not just providing a passive environment, but rather a community that all these players are acting in the same ecosystem, and by growing the ecosystem as a whole, we actually increase the monetary value of the ecosystem, and in that way, we increase the monetary value of Technopolis. So we are, by definition, owning, operating, and running this ecosystem in the long term rather than being a short-term real estate investor. That's not our business idea. And if we move on to our current network of parks, we now have roughly 1,200 customers with about 16,000 people operating in the facilities. We have 15 separate science and technology parks operating as a chain, just under half a billion square meters in use or under construction, and we're providing environments from 10 square meters up to 40,000 square meters. And the vast majority of our space is office space, so we don't have a whole lot of lab or other such space in our portfolio, and that seems to be the trend in the long run as well. If you look at our property portfolio, or you could call it our site portfolio, you can see that Although Technopolis started out in Oulu around 26 years ago, today Oulu accounts for only about 38% of our total portfolio. The second largest is the capital area in Helsinki area with about 25%, and the rest is spread across Jyväskylä, Kuopio, Tampere, and Lappeenranta, with Lappeenranta being the smallest in Finland, and St. Petersburg, of course, we only have a small rented facility there with only about 1.2%. I guess the message from this would be that we've got a very well-diversified portfolio of sites, but what they do have in common is that every one of them is in a real innovation hotspot, and this is important to remember because this will be also the key to our future development and expansion. We'll be looking not country by country, but looking for hotspots that share similar hotspot characteristics with these other hotspots that we've selected for our expansion in the future as well. And that will be the logic of our future growth. If you look at our customers, our largest customers, also we've tried to have a well-diversified but high-quality customer portfolio. Nokia still amounts for a significant part of our revenue, but it's only about 9.3%, and that's the largest share that any client has. On the other hand, about our 20 largest customers account for 46% of the company's space, and that means that we really need to take good care of these 20 largest customers, and I would say that it's an important factor in understanding why we have an account-based organization. Unlike most of our competitors, we have dedicated account managers taking care of every single client in our portfolio, and these account managers are responsible not only for bringing in the customers, but for taking care of them in the long run. So providing superior customer service is, especially under difficult economic conditions, one of the keys to maintaining clients, and maintaining clients is one of the keys to flourishing also under difficult economic conditions. Moving to our investments, we have a pretty fat investment pipeline also today, roughly 243 million euros in the investment pipeline, with all of these sites either already complete or under construction. And at the moment, all of these sites are looking promising in terms of both construction schedules, construction budget, as well as projected occupancies. We move to our business services. I want to underline the importance of our business services today. It's still, we're talking about a split of roughly 80-20 in terms of revenues, a little bit less than that. And in future, in particular, we believe that there's going to be more and more revenue coming from business services. We see ourselves and have seen ourselves as a service company. And we're also quite sure that in, let's say, an economic or recessionary environment, these services become even more important. Companies have a tendency to upgrade their outsourcing and focus on their core businesses during downturns, and providing those kinds of business services which help them focus on their core, help them to reduce their fixed costs, increase their cost effectiveness, or increase their revenues, tend to generate a lot of revenues. And here I'd like to raise, for example, video conferencing. We have a new video conferencing technology available in all of our sites, which will be saving Technopolis itself hundreds of thousands of euros next year. Now we're making this, we've already made this video conferencing solution available to all of our clients in all of our sites. In the future, we'll try to expand that into a global environment through a partnership network. And this is a classic example of a kind of service that will allow clients to avoid unnecessary business travel and consequently unnecessary business travel costs, help them to be more environmentally sensitive, and at the same time avoid the hassle that is associated with all the business travel these days. So business services are a very important component in what we're doing and a very important component in our value proposition. If we move on to business development services, and I'll very briefly, I just want to point out that this is an important revenue-generating mechanism for the Technopolis Group, in that these services, where we work closely with the community, with research organizations, with universities, polytechs, the cities, all these organizations in a network, that's what makes up this ecosystem, is allowing us to bring in more than 100 new startups a year, and roughly 20% of those are high-growth companies, which will eventually become important growth clients for Technopolis, and some of them will become important anchor companies for Technopolis, as they have in the past. So this, in fact, amounts to an internal engine of growth for Technopolis, which happens to function even more efficiently during downturns than it does during upturns, because you tend to see when there are recessions in the real economy, a lot more entrepreneurship is taking place for the simple reason that a lot of people are losing their jobs and starting companies. So this type of activity is actually going to drive our revenue model in the future, just as it does today, even more intensively. And the key services here really are providing funding for our growth companies and providing growth services, especially revenue and funding services for our clients. If you move to this idea of how much we actually mean by this, I think the most important thing to point out here is risk financing is the number one thing that's going to be needed today, and it's the number one thing that's going to be needed under recessionary conditions. We've already raised about 35 million euros in new risk financing for our growth companies this year alone, and the figure will probably be something around 60 million by the year end. And in a recessionary environment, that fuel is going to make it not only possible for these companies to continue growing, but also will act as a preventative measure in terms of inhibiting possible credit losses or payment problems for our young and dynamic clients. So now let's move on to the actual quarterly results and main events. And I'll start with the main events. I'd point out two main events for this quarter. The first of which is the launch of our new Helsinki Science and Technology Park, the first phase of our first downtown Helsinki park, roughly 6,600 square meters. The occupancy rate, I'm actually sitting in this building right now, is already at around 94% binding leases, although not everybody's moved in yet, but will have by the end of this year. We have a very nice mix of companies, startups, medium-sized growth companies, and anchors. And it's a beautiful facility. It was ready on time, and it was ready on budget, so I'm very proud of this new facility, and I also decided to locate my office here. Then also in Oulu, I'm also happy to report that we have had two phases ready, each around a little over 3,000 square meters, both 100% rented upon completion in Oulu, Kotikangas C&D. And these were the two major, I would say, completions during this period. And the completions from the previous 2 years have already, now during the during quarter three, you'll already see the revenue and earnings impact of previously completed ones that are mentioned in our last interim report. So moving on to our sales and earnings figures, you can see that our net sales between Q3 07 and Q3 08 have increased almost 29%. I think what I'd like to point out here is that we've already achieved almost as much revenue in 2008 up to date as we did in the previous entire year, 2007. So we have had quite substantial revenue growth. If we look at the operating margin, that's the figure without valuation impact, we've had actually slightly higher operating margin than we margin growth, a little over 30% than we did net sales growth, which is always a good sign. And looking at the operating profit after the valuation items, including the changes in fair value, there you'll see, of course, that due to these that the increases in yield requirements had about were about 0.16%. Some correct me if I'm wrong. She's nodding yes. And the negative impact on our income statement from that was about 16 million euros, a little bit over. But on the other hand, we've had positive impact on our fair market values from several factors. One was the acquisition of our 47,000 square meter park in Kuopio. Another were project gains from the launching of new greenfield facilities, including this Ruoholahti and Oulu cases that I mentioned just before. And then we've had also some positive impact from rising market rents, and that's because our market rents are linked to the consumer price index, and we've slightly raised the long-term inflation projections from the overly conservative 1.75% to a more reasonable 2%, which is in line with consensus projections, as well as the short-term inflation rate just for a rolling 1 year, which was so far below the actual situation that we felt necessary to raise the short-term inflation projection to a higher level to reflect higher market rents as well as higher expenses. Moving on to the balance sheet, you can see then, not surprisingly, our total assets have risen along with the commissioning of new facilities and the acquisition of new parks, and the fair market value of the investment properties has taken into account the slight negative impact I mentioned just before, has increased from Q3 07 to Q3 08 by a little more than 24%. Meanwhile, our equity ratio is stronger now than it was a year ago, and it's our strong belief that under potentially recessionary conditions, we need to have a higher equity ratio than this 38% long-term rate that we've maintained traditionally. So I think it's safe to assume that we will make every effort to keep the equity ratio at a level of at least 40%, whatever may happen, as long as we're under conditions that even look like recession. Then if you look at our occupancy and rental yield figures, you'll see that we have very high occupancy, as we have had for a while now, over 96%, around 96.4%. There was a very slight drop from the previous quarter, from 96.6 to 96.4, but I don't consider that a trend. And I think that we, at the moment, see no immediate need to adjust that figure in any direction, at least to the year end. Rental yields, net rental yields, have also remained at very healthy levels now in Q3 at 7.7. And then finally, I'd like to mention our share price performance. So I'm sure everybody noticed out there that there was quite a dip, but that dip coincided with the entire real estate and property investment sector. And if we compare Technopolis to its main peers, City Con Sponda, I think you can see that all of us have experienced the same dip. And all of us have already seen some recovery from that dip since the bailout packages for the financial crisis were announced. I don't think any of us believes that that we'll see a sudden and rapid recovery of the financial markets. But what I'd like to do is focus your attention on the fact that in all cases we have compared favorably with our peer group. And that's an indication of the confidence that investors have in our operations, our ability to differentiate ourselves from traditional real estate operators and business parks, and also faith in our way of our cautious and conservative way of reporting, and also the fact that we've tried to respond to investor requests to continuously open up what's behind these figures. And if we look at our shareholders today, I think what I'd like to point out is that the increasing presence of international shareholders, that trend continues, and I think I'd like to point out that foreign and nominee registered shareholders are now at 58.7, almost 59%. And in particular, we've had a couple of players, Gazit Globe, flagging at 15%. We know that they're somewhere between 15 and 20%. We don't know exactly how much right now. And we know that Henderson is also flagged at 5. So between Henderson, Gazit, and ABN AMRO, we have pretty significant holdings among our international shareholders, and we consider this a very good thing, seeing as Technopolis' growth plan is all about international expansion. It's about copy and pasting our concept in international hotspots, and we can only do that if we have international financing behind us. So we see this trend as being very positive for the group's future prospects. Coming to the year-end expectations, we expect demand to remain at a satisfactory level through the year-end. We see no reason, no sign at this point of anything that might affect our revenues or earnings between now and the year-end. On the contrary, things are looking pretty good. Occupancies, revenues, and earnings should remain at a satisfactory level in spite of this financial crisis. Although I think we all feel that there's a risk that a general economic downturn in the real economy may well follow this financial crisis, which we must not ignore the possibility that it could have an impact on our operations at some point in the future. And then we've raised slightly our forecast for sales and earnings to 22-26% increase for 2008, up a couple of percentage points from the previous forecast, because we're confident now as we reach the end of the year that these forecasts will materialize as projected. As for our longer-term vision, we've stated earlier that we see Technopolis expanding outside of Finland, beyond Russia, into two or three other international markets. Earlier we've said 1 to 2. We've raised that a little bit, and now that we're into the construction phase in Russia, we see it even more important to look at other markets to balance the risk of the Russian market. And we still have the same target, that we should evolve into the most attractive and most competitive science and technology park chain in Europe. We see no reason to move away from our growth target, which is we've had an average growth target of 15% per annum. Doesn't mean that we'll have 15% growth every year, but that's still the long-term average growth target. And we want to continue robust, controlled growth into the future. We see ourselves as a growth company. But, of course, there are factors outside of Technopolis that can impact the pace of our growth, and especially that number one factor is the situation on the growth financing markets. So first and foremost, we have to protect and safeguard the company's earnings and profitability, and that's what we'll do. And having done that, we will continue the growth path that we have set out for the company also into the future, if the financial markets make that feasible and reasonable. So that concludes my presentation. And at this point, I'd like to hand the ball back to David, our conference host.